And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool dad. We've homeschooled our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado since, what was it, 1995, I think it was. What is that, 30 years ago? 25 years ago, Bill Jack's been homeschooling for about 64 years, something like that, Bill.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, you were a speaker at one of the very first homeschooling conferences.
The very first one. Yeah.
Say, way back in the 1980s, yeah.
Yeah, my kids have been in just about everything except public school.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And because I was a public school teacher.
Right.
And I saw what was going on, and as most public school teachers, they don't want their kids there, quite frankly. So we've sent our students, our kids at different times to you know, private little Christian school and a homeschool co-op and homeschool them. And so we've seen the gamut.
Yeah.
And, but public school, that's an interesting thing because with this coronavirus, what we were seeing is, just blossoming of public school students now being homeschooled.
Oh man, the homeschooling movement just grew from 3 million to 43 million overnight. Yeah.
And, you know, people are touting that as a possible benefit to what we're seeing with the coronavirus, that it may increase the interest in home education. I tend to be a bit skeptical about that because I think that if parents had seen the downside of the public education system, they would have responded by now and they would have pulled their students out. So this particular crisis is not shining a spotlight on the deficits of public schooling. It's not shining a spotlight on the downside and the evils that occur in the public school system. And I mean evils. I'm talking about that which is evil, and that is seducing children into perversion sexually. And that if that had not moved parents to pull their kids out, then this is only a temporary relief from the public schools.
Well, the wake-up call that God brings to individual families occurs at different times and seasons. And I am hoping and praying that this will be an introduction to homeschooling for many, many public schooled kids. And the homeschooling movement has grown substantially. The most accurate numbers we got is Pew Research that came out just 3 months ago. Now 3 million kids are being homeschooled in America, up from 2 million, I'm going to say, about 10 years ago, 1.5 million in 2000 and about 10,000 in 1980. So the movement has blossomed to some 3 million, of which 53% are evangelicals. The rest are atheists, Roman Catholics, etc. But at this point, some 3 million kids being homeschooled in America, plus 40 million as of yesterday, virtually. And, yeah, I think it's good news. I think this is good news. Anytime you can get kids out of government institutions, put them back into the home, into family relationship, I think it's all an upside, at least for the time being. Now, granted, they're not studying Christian curriculum, but that's why I do this radio program. So for the other 40 million parents who are just now coming into homeschooling, Generations.org has a curriculum for you, and that is a God-centered, Christ-centered, biblical worldview-based curriculum.
And you will soon discover the benefits of having your children at home. You're a family once again.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because just in the past couple of days, I walked around the park just to get out of the house. And I saw families throwing frisbees, families playing pickleball, families, just
wow,
kicking the soccer ball around. And it was refreshing to see that.
Yeah.
And so that's another benefit, is that it's returning the family unit as the basic unit. They're going to soon tire of just watching all of the bad news about the coronavirus on TV. You can only absorb so much, and it's going to force people to find creative ways to get exercise, to bond and cement relationships. And so this has some potential for some benefit to in other areas that maybe we haven't really considered.
The homeschooling movement burgeoning to 43 million students in America, friends. That's about two-thirds of the school-aged children in America now being homeschooled thanks to the coronavirus. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform, including a shot in the arm to the homeschooling movement. And the Generations Ministry, as well as Christian Home Educators of Colorado, are producing two or three more homeschool summits available online to families who are stuck at home, wanting to learn about homeschooling, and we are providing these summits for the 40 million children and their parents who need to know something about homeschooling because they have just been introduced to it by the President of the United States, who, by the way, also recommended that, and this is at the press conference on Monday, I was listening carefully, and the President actually literally said that all American children should school at home. All American children should school at home. Those are the words of the President of the United States. Remember, we were excited when Dr. James Dobson was encouraging homeschooling versus public schooling. Remember, we were all getting excited about that in the early 1990s. And now the President of the United States, well, not just James Dobson, this is the President of the United States, stepped up and said, it's time for the children of the United States of America to school at home.
Yeah.
That is the President of the United States recommending what we've been recommending in this basement out on Eastern Plains of Colorado for the last 19 years. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Friends, listen. There is nothing families need more than godly husbands and fathers, spiritual men, praying men, men who are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Oh, that God would raise up stronger men, gentle, faithful shepherds, covenant keepers, men who won't quit, men who stay in the battle, men who persevere when the going gets tough, sacrificial lovers, robust men, not snowflakes. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the apostle tells us, quit ye like men, be strong. That's why the Shepherds Conference each year in my home here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Let me tell you, it's the best fellowship, the best worship, the best encouragement, the best exhortation. 5 days of immersive study in the Word of God, prayer and fellowship at my place out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado, September 28th through October 2nd this year. Here's the caveat. There are only 45 spots open reserved now at generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with me. And friends, 43 million Americans now being homeschooled by their parents across this country thanks to the coronavirus and encouragement from the President of the United States and the governors of at least two-thirds of the states thus far. And there are so many benefits to homeschooling. I think there will be an increase in the overall number of people who homeschool as a result of this. Now, it may be an increase of 10,000. It may be an increase of 2 million. Either way, I'll take it, Bill. But there are so many benefits. One-on-one instruction, so much more powerful, so much more efficient. Parents find out that, you know, as they sit down next to their kids and work through a few problems together, one-on-one instruction can be 10 times, 100 times more effective than a teacher just standing up in front of 30 students and doing this lecture thing. Also opportunities to build relationships in the home, as you mentioned. This is huge. I think the idea of bringing kids out of the isolated lifestyle back into, or the institutionalized lifestyle back into the relational lifestyle of the family is a really, really big step. And less peer interaction. So sometimes that peer interaction, especially for junior high kids, can be counterproductive. In fact, very, very often it's counterproductive, especially if they get too much peer interaction and, of course, pop culture and all the rest. So parents are going to find that they'll have a better situation if they just keep their kids at home, homeschool the kids for 3, 4, 6 months at a time. I think they're going to find that they can rework their kids' general cultural outlook and minimize the peer contact that is so counterproductive to raising children, certainly in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Also, moms will come home from work. Parents will be shocked to realize it really doesn't take a professional to educate a child. They'll begin to realize that they can do this themselves.
They've done something that no educator has done. They've taken somebody who knew absolutely nothing, and they taught them an entire language within the space of 2 years, and they did it effortlessly. Yeah. So they are the professionals. The parents are the professionals. We're just we as teachers are just hired assistants.
Yeah.
And that's all we are. And we need to put ourselves in the proper perspective as teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And so perhaps that will help parents see that and latch on to this idea that, hey, this is great having my kids around me. Unfortunately, I think that they've already given over the authority and responsibility for raising children to the state.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they would not have them there to begin with all the crud that's going on.
Well, we're certainly hoping that the influx of 40 million public school students into the homeschool ranks will wean certain families from the socialist, the government-controlled system of education, the institutionalized approach that is incorporated by the state. I've said this many times in the past, Bill, but I don't know what your take on it is. But it seems to me that socialism's belly of the beast, the belly of the Marxist beast, the belly of the statist beast, is really the public schools. I mean, that is, you stick a sword into the educational systems that are training kids to think like statists and socialists, being dependent on the state when their parents send them to public schools for raising them in the fear and the admonition of the state. It seems to me that if you can wean kids from this, you're sticking a sword in the side of the gigantic socialist government-controlled beast.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen over the years that there have been a lot of people saying that they're going to get rid of the Department of Education, for example. And, you know, Ronald Reagan promised to do that right after it was created under Jimmy Carter, and he did not do that. But you're right. If we could decentralize education and return it to the control of the parents, then we would have a much better educational system, be that parents choosing to hire a tutor or place their child under the instruction of a group of tutors in a private school or teach them at home themselves. It's the parents' responsibility, and yet we often see that the state usurps that responsibility, usurps that authority, rather. We just see that in the case of the sex ed curriculum. Parents are forbidden to see, in many states, the curriculum that is used to distort and pervert one of God's beautiful gifts, and they are not even allowed to see what their children are taught in the most sensitive of areas.
Yes, that judge that was from Pueblo came up to argue for the compulsory attendance law here in the state of Colorado said, he turned to us homeschoolers and said, all of Colorado's children belong to us, meaning the state. And that, of course, is the statist view of children, that the children belong to the state. But I think a lot of this is rooted in the training of the populace in public schools, in government-funded socialist schools. That's where it all begins, friends. And, you know, there are a lot of conservatives out there. There are a lot of Christians out there, people who just don't like communism and don't particularly want a totalitarian government. There are people out there who don't want a totalitarian government. Everybody wants a totalitarian government.
And you might see that when parents, because their students are home and they are asking for help with different assignments rather than going directly to their teacher, that parents suddenly are beginning to see what is being taught in the curriculum. And that is a benefit, and it may expose it. You know, Ephesians 5:11 says, do not participate in deeds of evil, but rather expose them. This may shine the light of truth on the evils that are being perpetrated in the secular educations in the state schools. It's not public schools. It's state schools.
Mm-hmm.
This is statism.
Mm-hmm. So as people who don't want communism, they ask, well, how do you stem the flow of socialism? How do you, you know, there are people out there, Republicans, call them conservatives or what have you, they will say, we don't want to create a totalitarian government. We just don't want to have a Cuba level or even a Sweden level or a Soviet Union level of socialism in this country. How do you stem the flow of socialism? I think this is how you do it. Of course, the flow of socialism increases year by year. Federal spending as a percentage of GDP was 2.5% in 1914. 2.5%. That is, the federal government took 2.5% of the people's money in 1914. In 1950, that was 16%. Under Clinton, it was 20%. Under George W. Bush, it was up to 26%. That was largely due to the 2008 recession. Then under Donald Trump, it's up to 32%.
Wow.
Due to the 2020 recession. So up from 2.5% to 32% between 1914 and 2020. So over 100 years, you're looking at a massive increase of the federal government as a percentage of GDP, which means that the government is controlling increasing portions of our lives. And there are people out there say, you know, we don't want totalitarian government. By the way, if you add in the state and local governments, all governments as a percentage of GDP now are spending over the 50% mark. That is, our lives, local, federal, and state governments consume over 50% of the economy now under President Donald Trump. And that is for the first time in the last 100 or in the history of this country.
Yeah, just in Colorado, what you see is that on the average class, which is 23 students, we spend $4.1 million between kindergarten and 12th grade. So you take a group of 23 students, you spend $4.1 million. Of those 23 students, 21% will not graduate. Of those who do graduate, 40% of them need remedial classes at the college level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's even worse for those who are minority students, Hispanics and blacks. It's 71% don't graduate. Mm. Now, we're spending that kind of money and getting that kind of return. Perhaps parents will begin to see that as well and realize that the bulk of their tax money is designated for something that is not providing much of a return and not benefiting their students at all.
I don't think they realize that the primary function of education is to control the students and to control the class, the mass class, and not to educate. So, but the point is that governments control so much of our lives today, and 95% of kids are educated by governments, and they're trained to think that government is responsible to fix our problems. And by the way, crisis becomes a pretense to grow more federal government every time, as we're seeing right now. This last massive increase, the last large increase in the size of the federal government occurred under George W. Bush with the 2008 recession. Now, the very next step in increasing the size of the federal government is occurring under the presidency of President Donald Trump. Why? Because of the 2020 recession. So, friends, this is it. This is it. Crisis is the pretense to grow the federal government. And so we see this happening again and again. But why? The question comes back, why? It's because 95% of kids are educated by the government, and they will be trained to think that government is responsible for fixing their problems. Now, that's not everybody educated in the government schools are going to be thinking that government is there to solve their problems, but that's most everybody, and that's why the massive increase in the size of governments, which with every crisis on the part of every party, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. This is a cross-partisan effort, my friends. When it's time for crisis, it's time to increase the size of the federal government. Why? Because people are trained to think that government is their savior because government has been their educator. Also, government schools have outlawed all mention of the Creator, all fear of God in the curriculum, and this enforces the idea that education is always secular. As we've discussed before in the program, the Supreme Court of the United States in 1987 ruled that America is a secular nation, therefore cannot refer to anything of a creator or God, or reverence that God, or fear that God, or pray to that God. All of that has been forbidden by the Supreme Court of the United States. Why? Because education is secular. Education must be secular. Education must keep man at the center and remove God as the source of our life and the one who is worthy of our worship. Okay, well, friends, that is where we are today, and I think it's my encouragement to parents who are looking at education to realize that not all education is created equal. Some education is more dangerous than others. And friends, let's be ever so careful that we don't allow our children to be robbed by the wrong worldview and the basic principles of the world, as the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Here's one more point I want to make before we break on this. Education is not about success. I think a lot of people have this impression that education is supposed to bring about material success. It's about getting our kids into a good college. No, education is not about success. Education is about honoring God. Education is about seeking the kingdom of God. Education is about seeking the blessing of God. Success is what we do. Blessing is what God gives to us. So we seek God's blessing for our children. We don't seek success on our terms for our children. So there's a difference there. We're seeking the blessing of God. And of course, we as parents want to be faithful in the work that we do. Also, education is not all about smarts. It's not all about the intellect. It's not all about shoving facts into the brain for 12 years because a child is made up of a brain. We are interested in the whole person, the spiritual, the emotional, the physical, and the intellectual development of the child. So when we ask the question, what is a good education? The bottom line is education is discipleship. It is preparing our children spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, and physically for life and for eternity. And my friends, you see how a biblical worldview ties into the kind of education we seek for our kids. Education is not neutral. There is a serious difference between the humanist form and the Christian form of education. Education is there to glorify God, not to glorify man. Education is to praise God, to be thankful to God, to stand in awe of God, not to glorify man and to cultivate pride in ourselves and our achievements. That is a massive difference in philosophy between a Christian worldview perspective on education and that which would constitute a humanist perspective. Indeed, education is to get to know God. We get to know God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we study the world, as we study history, as we study science. We want to come to know God. We want to see His works. That's first and foremost. And yes, we learn something about ourselves, and we learn something about the world around us. But indeed, we want to know something about God. And so that is, again, something that the secular schools will refuse to acknowledge. They will not say that this school is all about getting to know God and glorifying God. No, no, it is about man. It is about knowing ourselves and glorifying ourselves. Well, and finally, education is about seeking the kingdom of God, discipling the next generation, taking dominion of God's world to the glory of God. It is not about, fundamentally about, creating the kingdoms of men. It is about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast, friends. We're addressing the 43 million Americans that are turning towards homeschooling and encouraging them to turn away from a secularist, statist approach to education and bring about a godly, God-centered education. Friends, a God-centered education, a God-centered knowledge is the only right knowledge. A knowledge that begins with the fear of God is the only right knowledge. Otherwise, you are deceiving your children if you are giving them an education that is not formed on the fear, on the reverence, the awe of the true and the living God. Well, that wraps up this edition of the program. I would encourage you to my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, as a very basic introduction to a Christian discipleship approach to education. Friends, I encourage you to that little book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. If you happen to know some of the 40 million kids being homeschooled, grab a copy of Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child for your friends who are now homeschooling their kids. This would be a great time to hand out that book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.